And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here in Frankfort, Indiana. I'm Shan Sheridan, the director of the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development, and glad to be with you again yet another weekend as we explore entrepreneurship, engagement, events, entertainment, education, employment, all of those E's, the attributes of a community. What makes a community tick and what makes it work? And we know that it takes all of those E's, certainly engagement and the willingness to work together and be collaborative in the spirit of community. So we're going to talk about that today with a good friend of mine and the Parks Department Director at the Frankfort City Parks. Also, well, he's done a little bit of everything. We're going to talk about all of that today, but joining me is Travis Sheets. Now, before I even introduce Travis, I will have to tell you, Travis has got a really bad case of heartburn today. So you had a great meal at Arborwood earlier.
I did. I love good food, and sometimes eat a little too much.
Oh, I understand that. Well, we'll pray that it will settle down before the end of the show. Travis, I do thank you for joining us today. And when we think about let's talk a little bit about parks first, and then we'll start talking more about your background and where you've come from. And you're actually a citizen, a resident of Clinton County. You grew up in Clinton County. I should say a native of Clinton County.
I am a native of Clinton County, and ironically, I grew up just catty corner from TPA Park, so know the area very well and been engaged in the community since I was a youngster. Started out volunteering at our local Humane Society and taking care of orphaned animals. So anything other than a dog and a cat, the Humane Society would bring my way, and that's actually how I met my wife's parents to begin with.
And you started out with this love for animals, for nature, and that was kind of the stepping stone that put you in the place and the position that you are now.
Yeah, it really is. Like I say, at 3 years of age, this interest started, and Mom and Dad gave in and allowed me to have a pet bird in my room, and eventually lived on John Street at the time, 1212 North John Street, which was a dead end. And we had a neighbor, and he raised homing pigeons, and not only homing pigeons, but also some show pigeons. And his name was Mark Newby. I was able to get to know him, and he engaged me in the interest of birds and especially the pigeons, and got into showing pigeons, and it just expanded from there. Mom and Dad, and I've told this many times, Mom and Dad always said, Trav, you will outgrow this one of these days, because that's all I thought about and all I was interested in. Never went out for a sport. Ended up working for Dr. Hyland for several years through high school and college, but that was my interest.
Wow. Well, you know, that explains a lot because of your love and interest for birds. We've known this for a long time. So it started at a young age, and it has grown from there. Well, you left, or you went to Frankfort High School.
You did. I'm a hot dog.
You graduated Frankfort High School as a hot dog, and then you went on to college, and really, that love of nature and the environment and just animals continued to grow.
It did. It was funny because at college, I had a home off campus, and oftentimes, especially when I had a speech or something along those lines, I would drag my birds, my animals down to school, and they would live in our kitchen, and I shared a home with three other guys, and everybody would answer the phone. It was funny because we had landlines at that time, so the phone would ring, and you know, they would answer, "Hey, this is Keeper Dan," referring to we're the zookeepers because of my animals.
Well, and knowing a bunch of college guys getting together, so it's a wonder that they didn't end up becoming dinner or lunch or something like
absolutely.
That. I could see feathers flying everywhere and a plucked bird on the table. So, well, you know, and that has been a catalyst for your position at the parks. And this is a second go-round for you with the Frankfort Parks. I mean, you were there during Harold Woodruff's administration back in the 90s and did a tremendous job there with the TPA Park. And by the way, let's talk a little bit about the TPA Park for just a second, because it has a uniqueness that no other park in the country has, and that it's the only TPA Park
left. That's correct. Yes, it is the only TPA Park. And as part of the TPA organization that was related to insurance. I remember the TPA organization when I was with the parks 27 years ago, and was actually a member of that organization for a period of time.
Yeah, the Travelers Protection Association. Yeah,
correct.
And so that park, well, other parks were, are, I should say that the Traveler Protections Association insurance group, they had a program where they would actually go to rural communities and help purchase land or help the community purchase land and actually survey land and help municipalities create parks for their cities.
That's correct.
And,
yeah,
and Frankfort was one of those parks.
We were very fortunate, and you know, the site selection of the land they chose was just ideal.
Yeah,
I mean, it's such a beautiful park still today.
Yeah, it's got rolling hills. Mm-hmm. It's got a golf course connected to it.
Mature trees.
It sits near our retirement center in Wesley Manor. You know, I think that sometimes we overlook that opportunity of just the natural beauty that TPA Park is. Sometimes we get concerned about amenities, we get concerned about the swimming pool, and we get concerned about ball diamonds and things like that. Those are great things, and those are amenities that certainly will draw people and attract people. But I think it's the natural aspects of it, being able to walk through these mature trees and recognize that these things have been here for a long time, and the rolling hills, and it there's just a peace out there.
Yeah, it very much so, very much a peace. It was interesting because 27 years ago, when I came to the park, many of those trees were devastated. We had just had that ice storm.
Yeah, 1991.
So, yeah, we had to remove, I don't know how many of those large trees, and we replaced many of them, like 500 altogether. It was a tremendous number, and of course, when you spread that number of trees over a landscape of 89 acres, it doesn't look like it. I mean, we can always use more. But we wanted to ensure for future generations that that park would definitely be covered by canopy, tree canopy.
Right. Well, we think about the natural look of the park and the nature part of the park, but there's also been some great additions to the park. One of those additions that took place back in the 90s was the creation of the Christmas lights, and what that has meant to our community has been unbelievable. You're the creator of those Christmas lights. You started that some 27 years ago. How does it make you feel now, looking back over all these years, to see how that has grown and how that has been such an attraction for not just Frankfort and Clinton County, but really our region?
Yeah, it's wow. It's over the years, you know, having been around hit and miss over the past 27 years after developing that program, it's really been incredible to see it grow, to see the impact economically as well, but also the impact on our citizens, because it's such a special time of the year. Mm-hmm. We're all about family in the parks, and that's family time, and I think that that's extremely important for a community. So, you know, that's something that was developed, and I see that Frankfort has grasped a hold of, and I hope to see that continue for a very long time.
Well, it has become a destination place in the holiday season, and it starts on Thanksgiving evening, and I believe it goes to like New Year's Day or New
Correct,
Year's evening.
Yes.
But it has become now a time of the year where we start getting the calls here at the chamber. So when are the park lights coming on? What time do they stay on? And we know that they stay on all the time because they basically from November or Thanksgiving on to New Year's. When you think about the opportunity, when you mentioned economics and the economic development piece and all of this, how do you see this continuing to grow? And now that you're back, some of the ideas that you have to continue to grow that?
Yeah, it's lots and lots of ideas, Shan.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing.
It is, yeah. The thing is, you know, it's a very economically, as far as a budget standpoint, from a budget standpoint, from the Parks Department, it's a very low budget program. You know, we deal with donations through the donation box and contributions from other sources. But again, it's a small number in comparison to the program.
Right.
If we just had a corporate sponsor, we could do so much more, and the community would definitely benefit from a higher traffic flow during that season. So that's the goal right now. I think that it's, you know, we could show off our city. We could show how proud Frankfort is, how proud Clinton County is, and that we are together as a community by bringing people here to show them that. Because the aesthetics from the downtown to the park are incredible now.
Well, when you think about the people coming in, those numbers are kind of mind-boggling. I mean, we had, I don't know how many cars this past year, but it was well in the thousands.
Yeah, it is. It was well in the thousands. And just think about this economically, and I'm just throwing this number out, but just think if we had over 100,000 people, and if each of those, on average, spent $7.50 in our community, just look at what an economic impact that was to Clinton County.
Right.
And that's probably low. I really do think that's low.
Yeah, but I would agree with you because I've been out there many times because I head north going home. And as I go during the Christmas season, as I went this past year especially, there were many nights that I couldn't get across Kiger because there were cars that were lined up that I had to go on further down because there was a backup. There was a of traffic trying to get into the park.
And that's another situation that we'd like to correct this year is do a traffic flow through the park, a one-way in and a one-way out. And that's it's a little bit difficult because there are so many roads within TPA Park. But by closing a few off, making one-ways, doing a larger roundabout on one end of the park where buses, for instance, could make a turn, I think we can do it. And I think the traffic flow would be a little easier if we did that. And I think that we would see a greater number of visitors as well.
We talk about the E factor, and economic development comes to mind when I think about the park. Sometimes that, you know, as an economic development director, I think of those things. Some people don't necessarily think that way, but you as a parks director, and you and I had a chance to go up to Fort Wayne and participate in a conference about economic development, really, and what it means to our parks and what it means to economic development and vice versa. How do you see Frankfort Parks, not just TPA, but really the whole network of parks, playing a role in economic development and driving more economic impact to our community?
Yeah, it's very interesting to look at that as a whole. And a lot of folks don't realize, but industries and businesses, that's one of the top three things they look at in a community when they're going to land in a certain location. So it's very important. And our TPA park, it's a destination point. Mm-hmm. We have neighborhood parks too, but TPA stands alone because it is a destination point. And it is one of those factors that will bring business and industry to a community.
Absolutely.
It's very important, just like our schools.
Quality of life.
Quality of life.
Part of quality of life. It's the attributes, but also the e-tributes of a community that make a community. And when we talk about economic development, even and beyond the parks, it's the events that take place in the park.
Sure.
The entertainment that goes on. You got the 4th of July coming up. I know that's the big fireworks. That's a huge draw for people that come in from all over the area to see the JCs blow up the fireworks there at TPA Park. And, of course, all the vendors and folks and the concerts and the music and all of that happens throughout the year. And then you have, I know you're working very diligently on more playground apparatus and more opportunity to grow that piece so that on a daily basis, families have the opportunity to have entertainment by just being a part of that park system.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're involved in in parks or any business or industry, there's always needs for upgrades. And we've got a period of time where we haven't seen some of those upgrades, and it's time to do that. I think that we need to. I mean, we compete regionally, with the other counties around us, and so we need to take notice. Otherwise, we're going to be left behind. So it's time to look at some of those capital outlay needs and start planning for it.
Well, when we were up at Fort Wayne and looking at some of the many different exhibits that are offered, I was kind of blown away by some of the new inventions and creations that are coming through for parks. And it has to excite you. I know it always comes back down to money, the economics of it. I mean, it's on both sides. It's an economic, certainly, impact and a positive, but it costs money, and it's the economics part of it as far as expense to get all of this done and to make it happen.
Yeah, it's incredible, the catalogs that we receive today versus the catalogs that we received several 27 years ago and what's available now. You know, the specialty equipment for special needs children, it just wasn't available then.
No.
And therefore, it's not in a lot of our parks. But we have that opportunity now, and we really need to do that.
Sure.
That's on the forefront. For capital upgrades.
And I know that you've talked about that, and that is another part of what makes a community is that it all-inclusive, so that everyone has the opportunity, everyone can be a part.
And I think that's very important because we all have different interests, and so a park needs to appeal to as many people, you know, the gamut of our population. And to do that, we need a variety of opportunities.
Okay. Now, Birdman, I'm going to get back to the birds.
So, okay.
Aviary. I mean, I've gone out there and there's things happening and moving and changing. So tell me a little bit about that project.
That's right. And again, that's a huge economic interest there. You know,
people from states away
will drive to see that.
Yeah.
It's quite unique. Yes, the aviary, again, 26, 27 years ago, we built the first aviary. It lived its lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, before I was back in the country, the old aviary was torn down and the new one started to be erected. The poles have been placed, but that's kind of as far as it went. The Community Foundation was instrumental in buying a lot of that equipment. And we still have all of that. And we're in the process of putting it together. The problem is it's just slow. And we've been using our individuals at the park. And of course, when spring hits, mm-hmm. We're full force.
Yeah.
And you know, we have 8 people, including myself. And so we have folks on mowers and everywhere else, and so work slows down. That type of work slows down because we have to catch up with the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 7 parks that we have, plus the neighborhood center, and some other properties we have to take care of. So we reached out for volunteers. We did have a good response from volunteers. But again, it's technical work, and so it's been very slow. Now, the good news is we have one of our industries will be announcing this pretty soon that's interested in taking some interest and raising some money and maybe lending a hand to complete that. My goal is to have it complete by the 4th of July, and that's I know I'm reaching there because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and the City Light and Power is involved in all of that too because mm-hmm. there's some high work that needs to be done. But I'm real excited about this industry, and again, we'll announce that later on, being involved, willing to raise money to help hire some contractors to come in and help complete it.
Well, now let's talk a little bit. I mean, that's the construction of the aviary. So let's talk about what's going to be in the aviary.
Because
you've got some birds there. And you've got them kind of stored now,
well,
right?
We do.
Now.
Yeah, they're still in their winter quarters, but we do open the doors this time of the year. Each species, generally, and we match them with species that will get along, but we have several different enclosures where they're located in secure quarters at the TPA park. But we're real anxious to get them outside, and I know the birds would love to be outside.
Yeah.
Usually it's kind of a traumatic experience that first couple of days for the birds, what's going on here?
Right.
But they catch on pretty quick, and then they're right at home in a few days.
And you've rescued birds. TPA, if it hadn't been for the TPA aviary, there would be birds that would have been lost, and some beautiful, very specialized
birds.
Sure,
a lot of South American birds that we have. Parrot species, we have Australian species, African species. We have a wide variety, and again, some rescued birds that we gave a good home to.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned Africa. I wanted to get into that a little bit with you. You and Gina, your wife, just came back recently from Liberia. You'd been in Liberia. You'd made a commitment there for about 5 years, and you were there a little over that time period. And when you think about mission trip. Of course, you were involved in missions before that and working with church world builders and building churches throughout the globe, mm-hmm. actually. And I want to go back and scratch the surface a little bit about Liberia, because that was really a passion for you and Gina to be there on the ground, boots on the ground, helping those folks. And it was more than just about building parks. It was really about feeding the people, both spiritually and physically, and helping them grow food and nourish them. But you also, while you were there, because I've had the opportunity to see it, you brought that element of parks, and you brought an element of design, and you brought an element of art to the people, and it really has changed the whole landscape. It's certainly in Ganta where you guys were stationed at.
Yeah, we did choose Liberia. Liberia imports 90% of its food. And the farmers there literally have forgotten how to grow their own food because of a series of wars that have taken place.
Yeah, over 25 years of war.
Yes. And then what has happened is the next of kin, the youngsters went back to their homeland. Yes, they have land, but they had no idea what to do with it. So that's the reason that we chose Liberia. We did live without electricity and water for a number of years. And we did commit to 5 years just because the agriculture cycle, the growing cycle takes so long. And we wanted to work a chance to work the bugs out as well, if you will. Yeah. And so we knew it would take a commitment of that long. And we did volunteer. We weren't paid to do this, but we felt that we've been blessed. Right. And we wanted to give back in the way that we could, our gifts and talents. Mm-hmm. And mine is more hands-on, Gina's more administrative, and so we make a good team.
Yep.
And so, we did develop the Agriculture Research Center, which is a three-story building. It's the most unique building in the entire country of Liberia and has gained national attention. And we're excited about that because it brings attention to agriculture. So the building is has room, a living quarters on the bottom level, and second level is classrooms and laboratory, agriculture lab, animal lab, and then on the third floor is guest quarters for visiting faculty or visitors in general. So it's a very large facility. And then we also created agriculture around. And this is what I call diversified agriculture, because we're not talking just about row crops. We're talking about everything from fish production, tilapia, from dual-purpose meat, birds, chickens, layers. We did row crops, fruits, vegetables. I mean, the gamut of agriculture, including some fragrances, eucalyptus and vanilla, you know, those types of things that are unique to give opportunity to that area. So it is up, running, you know, that the facilities are built. And Gina and I thought, hey, it's time. We need to come home and be employed again and contribute to our community, our home communities.
When we talked a little bit about the parks position, you and I on the phone, and it was one of those scenarios that, of course, I was very excited. I was really hoping that you would say yes. Of course, we were glad to see Gina. We want Gina back, and we know that she went to Washington D.C. for a little while, and now she is back.
She is back.
We'll see what happens there and next steps there. But what the focus, I think, or the big thing was what you bring to the table in all of this is some of the things you've learned on the mission field, some of the things you've learned, especially in Liberia with Hope in the Harvest. You guys created a ministry that's called Hope in the Harvest that is going to continue, and it is continuing the work there in Liberia. And that's exciting in itself because you planted the seed and it has grown, and now it continues to grow. But what are some of the things that you are bringing back now to our community that you would probably say you didn't have before you left?
A lot of patience.
Well, I know in dealing with some of the Liberians, I can definitely attest to that.
No, you know, anytime there were several programs, projects that we did in Liberia that we wanted to, really didn't have the funding to do them, but there's always a way. Mm-hmm. And so I became very innovative, mm-hmm. and to make things happen. There are some things that you can do yourself to cut down costs. And I think that's my biggest takeaway, probably, is, hey, we have a project. It needs to happen. We don't have the money. How can we make this work?
Well, I think, too, one of the takeaways for me when I was in Liberia with you guys and watching you work and watching you do what you do was that it was – like you said, the resources were not there. You had to pretty much do everything.
Yeah, we did.
From if you're going to, in other words, if you're going to put a fountain in, you've got to do everything from design to find what you're going to make it out of, and may even have to make what you're going to make it out of before you even make it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you have to do everything from creation to completion.
That's very true. And what came to mind is the amphitheater that we built.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
We had a need for an amphitheater to teach our classes, an outdoor amphitheater. And of course, the Liberians had no idea what an amphitheater is.
Right.
So yeah, I had to draw it up. Explain exactly the depth, the distance,
and the
material. Yeah, the concept about the entire project. And I can go over project after project after project that happened with. But it enlightened the Liberians. It developed them as a people. Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully Liberia's a little better off now.
Oh, well, there's no doubt that Liberia's a lot better off because of the Sheets being there and being a part of Hope in the Harvest and creating Hope in the Harvest. And, of course, the Ark, the building you were talking about, so affectionately named because of its vastness, but it's also because of its purpose and yeah. what it does each and every day in growing people with research and also housing people that really need a place to stay and to live and also being able to feed folks because a lot of people come in there to eat. And but, you know, when we think about engagement, that really to me is a definition of engagement, is getting your hands dirty, recognizing that you have something that you could offer. At the same time, you can learn from that moment and learn something from what you're offering.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Gene and I learned just as much from the Liberians mm-hmm. as they learned from us.
Sure. Well, it's resourcefulness.
Yeah, resourceful.
I think because though they are very resourceful people, I mean, they have to live and learn to get along. But I think here was the biggest takeaway for me. Another takeaway for me was the opportunity to grow people, to show people things to do it with what they had,
right.
and versus. Oh, we need a John Deere tractor. Well, we're not going to get a John Deere tractor. Or we need this or that. We're not going to get this or that. We to be resourceful enough to be able to manufacture with what you have.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that we definitely taught was use what you have in your hand.
Farming God's way.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's a perfect example of farming God's way. Farm with what you have, the seed that you've got,
the fertilizer that you have available,
the soil,
the sun, the water,
everything.
Yep.
And make it work. So as we close off the show today, Travis, I just want to what is something that you really would appreciate folks knowing about the future of the park and what's coming up with the park. I know you got one you can't talk about, but some of the things that you got cooking.
Oh, you know, I look, Frankfurt Parks, we have a bright future. And I've been on board now for about 7 months and have lots of ideas. And we have a group of people. We're a team that have a lot of ideas. I know the community will come together. We have a lot of volunteers, a lot of interest, a lot of support. So let's do this. Let's make Frankfurt's parks as best as they can be. We have programs for example, the Farmers Bank, they're always willing to jump on board. And so now they are hosting, the movies in the park. We're going to have summer nights again. They took that and said, hey, we'll sponsor it. They also, jumped on board for the main portion of the concerts for the 4th of July. So My goodness, businesses like that and that take an interest in the community. That's what this is all about.
A lot of great things happening.
A lot of great things.
A lot of great things happening in Frankfort, in Clinton County, all over the place. And if you need to get a hold of Travis, you can reach him at the Parks Department, right?
Yes, absolutely. Give us a call at the Frankfort Parks Department. You'll probably talk to Whitney to begin with. Telephone number 659-3422.
What is that? What number again?
659-3422.
All right. That sounds great. Travis, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. You're one of my favorite guys to talk about engagement because you're definitely one of those guys that are engaged. And I want to tell you something. You have the opportunity to impact someone's life. You might be the one that would empower somebody or encourage someone. Use your engagement talents to be that attribute in someone else's life so that we can have more attributes here in our own community. For another edition of the E-Factor, I'm Shan Sheridan. Have a great weekend.